The Yum Podcast is brought to you by Emma, email marketing that works for you.
In a world where QR codes kill kittens and customer service is an oxymoron, one podcast has set out to make things right. This is the Yum Podcast with your hosts, Scott Stratton and Allison Kramer.
Do you want me to say hello to our listeners since you seem to have some kind of indigestion?
Yep.
Hi, listeners.
Hey.
I've never done this before. Welcome to the Yum Podcast. This is me, Allison. Isn't that funny? I never speak first when we do the podcast. And finally, you burped at the right time and I got my chance and now I'm not going to stop talking. I'm just going to talk for the next hour.
I regret everything. Welcome to the show. We have a whole chock full of goodness here for you today.
Yeah, it's great.
We have some good stories, which is awesome. We have a really cool psychological thing that explains most things that we've talked about in the past. We have these new things from the Googles and the Facebooks and the about a new home tool, which I'm not sure I'm buying. Made up word. No.
That's really all we have.
That's about it.
Yeah. So when this airs, will we have already been in Nashville?
No. Well, if you listen to it the day it comes out on the Wednesday, we'll be in Nashville the next day. So if you're listening to this on Thursday, how about you get your wonderful backside down to Emma's headquarters? And we're doing a live on podcast at their location. So drop us a line. By this time, it's pretty late. But, you know, you can try. All that, nothing more, brought to you by, well, them, Emma, actually. You deserve a better email marketing platform. So, hey, why not go to them? They support us. So hopefully you support them. Go to myemma.com and they'll show you what it's all about doing email marketing right. Before we jump into the stories. So we bought some microphones to do Facebook Live because every month we do a Facebook Live on Emma's page. We do a takeover and we just did one a week or two ago and it was awesome. And we'll do it again in November. And so, Wayno, our wonderful man behind the soundboard here, which is his new nickname.
Who has not consented to the use of Wayno as his name.
Which he instructed before we went on air. Just please call me Wayno.
Never say Wayno again, I believe is what he said.
So he set us up kind of a microphones and, I don't know, the talk box, whatever the microphones go into, whatever that's called, and the stands and everything else. So I just said, just give us a setup and I'll order it. So we ordered it from Long & McQuaid, which is the provider of musical instruments for class bands and stuff since I was a kid. It's one of our main music instrument and supply places around here. So I went and ordered it all, put it all together. Wayne gave me the SKUs and everything. He's on fire. And I went to order it. So I click, 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 put it in my shopping cart, click, take it. And it said, do you want shipping insurance? And I'm like, no, I'm good. I'm just fine. Click, no. And pops up, boof, you sure? Because it ain't our responsibility once it leaves our warehouse. That's what they said.
Wow.
It does not our responsibility once it's gone and you'll have to put a claim in with the shipper. You sure about that? You sure you don't want to fork over $18?
Is that how much it was?
It was like $20. It was like, and the whole setup was like $500. So it was a very small percentage. And I'm like, you should be just removing any responsibility for something once you ship it. Isn't that weird?
Yeah.
Imagine Amazon did that. You want to insure this? You sure? It'd be a shame if something happened to your package en route. Ain't our problem. And how do they know where it broke?
Yeah, I think that was the first thing that tweaked in my mind was like, how do you know? Like, I mean, I'm not trying to, like, I've had really good experiences with Long & McQuaid, so I'm not saying that Long & McQuaid has done this, but what it feels like as a customer when you see that, it feels like, so if you put it in a box and it's broken when you put it in and then you seal it up and then you ship it to me, when I get it and it's broken, you're basically saying I have no follow through to come back to you and say, hey, what I got was broken. Because you can just be like, well, it was okay when it went in the box. Like, it's not like there's no onus. Like, on the other side of that, we don't get a picture. Or like, it's not like you see it before it gets in the box. So that's where my distrust goes. My distrust goes to, like, if I was trying to get rid of some broken things, what I would do is tell people I'm not responsible for it.
I'm not saying I'm going to do it.
I would never do that.
A box of rocks.
And I don't think Long McQueen is doing that. What I would imagine is they've probably had quite a lot of issues with things getting broken in shipping. And to me, that means you need to be doing different packaging and you need to be using different shippers, because if you can ship the things that are shipped today, there's so much in terms of what you can send things in, then you need to be doing something differently with your packaging if things are getting regularly broken.
The onus of proper shipping should not be laying on the lap of the customer.
No, now that is to say that like the shipping company also has to have some responsibility. Like, we've told many stories on here. They're the famous FedEx guy where they chuck the computer sure. monitor over the. I mean, I'm not saying that things don't get broken sometimes during shipping, and that maybe Long and McQuaid shouldn't have to bear the responsibility for all of that.
No, but they should have to go after the shipper then.
Yeah, Long and McQuaid should have to go up after the shipper because that's the customer relationship, right? The shipper's customer, so they should have some kind of way to go through the shipper for that. But yeah, I would look into different packaging. I mean, that seems to be the problem.
Imagine that when you had Nummies bras and you made people, retailers or end consumers, say, hey, a couple bucks. It's like GameStop or EB Games, where you buy the game and they're like, do you want game insurance? Just in case something is not, because you break it. It's not like they hand you the package, because game insurance is like $2 for your $60, $70, $80 game, sometimes over $100, depending on the edition of it. And they said if it breaks or you scratch it or something, you can come back and replace it.
Yeah, but that's different.
That's different because if they did it this way, it would be they'd hand you the package before you could look at it and say, do you want to insure it to be sure that it's going to work?
Or make sure it's actually the game you bought? Do you want buying the thing you wanted insurance?
I don't think this is the right way to do business. Like, and because the only reason I ordered from Long McQuaid was because Wayne gave me the SKUs from there, and it was really easy to look up. Otherwise, I would have just gone on Amazon because it's simple. They got all of the information, and we've ordered so much from the past. But this was my first online experience ordering from them. I'm like, it just leaves a weird taste in your mouth. It's just an odd thing to do. But hey, let's go to a good story. This is from Twitter. This is a tweet, as you do on Twitter, from Ladurante. So Ladurantaye. He says, let's all raise a glass to Baptiste, a waiter at the Ajax Keg, who personally delivered my wallet to my house tonight because he was worried about me not getting to Scotland in time. So the Keg is a steakhouse that's famous around these parts. Ajax is a couple hours east of us. There's a note that says, hey, Stephen, my name is Baptiste. I served your family last night at the Keg in Ajax. This is a handwritten note. You left your wallet behind. I remember you are leaving for Scotland today and probably need your ID. I hope you don't mind. I opened your wallet to get your address. Normally, I would have turned it into manager, but I'm not sure what time your flight is, and you may need it first thing. Have a safe flight, and God bless.
Oh, that's nice.
That's a nice thing.
Yeah.
I hope he got a tip. But the type of guy to do it without trying to get one.
Yeah.
It's a nice story of service, which we don't usually get to see. So we tried to... We're trying, people.
You could send us more good stories, you know. Research is really on you. This is really something that, like, we need to talk about the number of good stories
you're
sending
us. You need to step up, people.
Yeah.
Step it up. I'm going to go looking for stuff.
So, you know when you read something and it makes you feel so good because you're like, I was right, you know, when that happened? So that's how I felt kind of reading this story.
Every day.
Yeah, I would imagine you felt similar. So this is called, it's a little description of a study about something called service recovery paradox, which is actually something that we've been talking about for a long time. It was like old couple year ago talks, right? Like when it hits the fan, it's time to be awesome kind of stuff. I think Book of Business Awesome it would have been around then. So it says the service recovery paradox, SRP, is a situation in which a customer thinks more highly of a company after the company has corrected a problem with their service compared to how they would regard the company if non-faulty service had been provided. So this is something you and I have been talking about for a long time. Companies make mistakes all the time, just a bunch of people. So, but how you deal with it can make your company end up looking better than if the mistake hadn't happened. And that's basically what they're talking about. So it says, for example, a traveler's flight is canceled. When she calls the airline, they apologize and offer her another flight of her choice on the same day and a discount voucher against future travel. Until the service recovery paradox, the traveler under the service recovery paradox, the traveler is now happier with the airline and more loyal than she had been if it had never occurred. And we found this countless times. Your Ashley Home Furniture story about a woman buying mm-hmm. all of her furniture the there FedEx. And was super happy, left the store. And then comes to delivery day, delivery place is terrible, furniture is broken, it's the wrong furniture, everything that can go wrong. Gets in touch with the company, writes a negative review, right, on Yelp, I think. Yep. And then the owner sees it right away, makes everything right, takes care of her. And she basically goes back onto Yelp and gives it 4 stars afterwards and says, because of the way they handled the mistake, I would not think hesitate twice to shop about there, yeah. shopping there again. And that's really the gold kind of a business, right? Because we all make mistakes. Things happen. Violins from Long & McQuaid, they get broken. You know, these things happen. But how you handle with the mistake can actually improve your business.
Right. When people complain, especially online, what they're looking for first and foremost is validation that they've been heard, because up to that point, they have not. That's where it goes. It's like the FedEx example we used to use, where the person just chucked a computer monitor over a gate somewhere, and then, you know, they came back and made a video from the VP of operations and like really and did a blog post and made themselves look better than before the screw up.
So this study looks at, and you guys should read it for yourselves, we'll have a link in the notes, but it looks at different kinds of responses, different kinds of problems. But one of the things I like is that it talks about what I think is the real meat of why this works, is this idea of perceived justice. And mm-hmm. I love this. It says, when consumers who have suffered as a result of service failures seek redress, they are seeking some type of perceived justice, defined as the process in which consumers weigh their inputs against their outputs when forming recovery evaluations. So example, things like, what's the outcome? So is there actual outcome? So when that flight got canceled, they got her on a new flight, they gave her a voucher, how's it going to go? And then this idea that the timing is done really well, right? And that it's intentional, that they meant to provide her, which so you listen to the complaint and then you're meaning to provide some kind of justice. Because I think we feel really good as consumers when we feel like things have been justly taken care of. Right. And you miss that. And I'm not saying people should screw up on purpose, but when you handle the screw up well, a customer feels this importance to the company, right? That they wouldn't have felt if things were just going along. You may never remember what airline you were on that day. You don't remember. But when things go bad and people fix it really well, you remember that. And so you guys should check it out. I think it's really interesting.
Yeah, it is. It's something that when people see a problem happen, you know, there's two reactions, right? It's not my fault or it's everybody's issue.
Yeah.
And how to, when you realize and put this in your head that, you know, when the worst type of customer complaint you can have is one you don't hear. That's it. They will spread throughout their own circle. They'll fester. They'll rot in your brand, and you won't know anything about them. So when people bring something up, what they're saying is, "Help me." And it's not a cheesy way of thinking it. It's an actual way. If I didn't care about the product or the brand or the service, then I wouldn't say anything. And that's how you win them over. That's how I think loyalty is truly built. I don't think loyalty is necessarily built through getting points and getting air miles and getting this. Loyalty is what happens when it goes wrong. What have you done for us? And that'll solidify that relationship. It turns them into those ecstatic customers.
I love that idea of justice, like this idea that there's this opportunity here when something goes wrong to make someone feel this, that they've received justice from your brand. Right. I love that idea. And I think that speaks to the loyalty, right? That really speaks to, are you going to be loyal to a company that's just doing okay? Or are you going to be loyal to a company that makes you feel like you've receive justice? Like, it's so dramatic, but it's real.
It's
and
true.
We've seen it time and time again.
100% it's true. You know what? Who makes me feel justice?
Who makes you feel justice?
Emma. Oh, they just are just full of just. You deserve a better email marketing platform. Go see our crew at Emma at myemma.com. They'll take care of you. They'll give you justice. They'll right all the wrongs from your previous email providers. Go check them out.
Like an email superhero. Like an email, bringing justice to all.
And we had, so to celebrate our renewed sponsorship with Emma, we decided to cater lunch to their marketing team of 30 or so people. What's up, everybody? And so one of the problems with doing catering from afar is you're not there.
Hard.
You don't know who you're, where you're going. You don't. And what I wanted, what I was hoping for is, you know, a place that was like it was like a DoorDash or a Uber Eats for catering. just go on there. I just don't want to, I don't want to talk to anybody. I don't want them to go over their menu and ask me how many empanadas I want and this. And I just want to click, 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 click and do it. And I found EasyCater. EasyCater.com.
He was so happy.
Right? It's
you were so happy with
EZ
that.
EZ or EasyCater.com. And it was exactly that. And this is not a promo. This is not an ad. I was just totally ecstatic with it. You went there. You got everything you need, right? You got like just like a food delivery service. You got all the options. You can pick types of cuisine you wanted. There's reviews. There's price points. And so, and you put it in there and it clicked through. It was easier than ordering the microphones that we ordered. And they didn't ask us for shipping insurance.
No, there
for
wasn't
the food.
Food shipping insurance.
You sure you don't want to insure the food? Because, you know, it might not get there. So I went through and you're like, how many people do you have? Well, we suggest this much for this. So we just went, boom, with salads and mains and this. And, oh, here's a whole set if you want. Just catering for 30. And we'll just do a whole bunch of stuff. Or you can pick. So we did the whole thing for 30. Plus we added a few things on and an add-on sale for the brownies. Yeah, of course we want brownies. You want sweet tea? You want iced tea? Boom.
Scott's an add-on seller's dream.
Yeah, boom. Iced tea? You want ice? Of course I want ice. Boom, it's iced tea. I think I'm a psycho, right? Cups, boom, cups. Yeah, cutlery, cups.
He was very, very happy. He was like Christmas happy about finding this service.
And we ordered it, and then you just, and then it notifies you, and then they said, and then they we ordered it like the week before, and then you're just like, well, I hope it comes. Nobody's bringing their lunch to work that day because they've been told it's being catered, so better show up. And sure enough, we get a photo from them. They're eating it. There's the sweet tea with the cups and two bowls of ice they even brought in, and oh, it was I was so happy. I'm so happy. When here's the sad part. I am over the moon happy when I order something and it arrives.
Me too.
Like that's the saddest part, I think, of this world right now when it comes to commerce, is we are just giddy when something works right, not even exceeding expectations, by the way. Right, as you said many times, the bar is set so low for service, you just have to meet and do what you say to be extraordinary.
Sent you like 100 sales emails?
No.
Ask you every day if you need to send anyone
more
else
catering?
Lunch?
Want catering? It's like the FTD
the flowers.
Of catering.
That's what I was thinking about.
More want flowers? Did you want flowers? You sure want flowers? Click unsubscribe. Are you getting too many emails? If you know the problem already, that's the problem. So Easy Cater, thank you. You were a killer. I was really happy with that. And if it's in a city near you and you need that catering, go do it. All right, this is from The Verge. This is how Google's new Home Hub compares to the Echo Show and Facebook Portal. Google's new Home Hub is the latest smart display to hit the market, but it's not quite like the rest. One of the key differences with Google's product is that it lacks a camera, removing any possibility of engaging in a video call with friends or family. Putting aside the Home Hub's lack of camera, its closest competitor is the Amazon Echo Show, powered by Alexa. Amazon's smart display aims to answer all your queries, connect your streaming services, and seamlessly corral all of your smart home technology. Much of the decision comes down to services you're embedded in. Do you love Prime Video and absolutely need to video chat? Or, well, do you want YouTube access? Then there's the Facebook new smart display, the Portal. While still technically a smart display, the Portal is more limited in its feature set. Video chatting with other Portal or Facebook users is the big spotlight here. Unlike the Echo Show, the Portal stands out because it's able to track you as you move around the room during a video chat. You can listen to music via Spotify or Pandora, watch video content on Facebook Watch, and the company's latest on-demand initiative. Though it isn't as much of a do-it-all compared to the others. So we have different prices: Google Home Hub $149, Echo Show $229, Facebook Portal $200. Displays anywhere from 7 inches to 10. They all have Wi-Fi and Bluetooth. And Facebook uses Alexa, by the way, for theirs. So that's interesting. So here's why I bring this up. So we've got the Home Pods, like Apple's Pod and Amazon Alexa, and like and Google's one as well, where it just sits there. It's not video. It's just it's like, you know, hey Google, or
play this music,
play this movie, or hey Echo, or I don't know what people say. And so, but it's like this. So this this market, talking about disruption, the market for smart speakers, home smart speakers, has eclipsed almost everything. The penetration of this in households in the U.S. has been faster and larger than in smartphones, than almost every other disruptible technology. So that's one thing on it. But this is now adding the video screen in. for the most part, and Facebook following you around doing video chats. And
is this like, okay, can you help me for a second? Because we don't have one of these, and I'll tell you why, how I feel about it. But the is this the same technology that will let you like your turn your lights on and heat the house a little more and things like that?
Well, it can all use that. Yeah, Google can be, you can have a, your house
that
pretty much
home
with
thing.
Nest.
Wasn't that,
yeah.
Is that with, it goes in with Nest
that
and stuff?
Can be
is
part
that,
of it, yeah.
Like, are we Tony Stark?
It's
like,
Internet
walk
of Things,
in,
yeah.
Allison's here,
yeah.
And the house turns on. Is yeah. that the end goal of the whole thing?
I don't know, but
so
yes.
So I feel about this the same way right now that I feel about, like, Apple Watches. Like, I've been, we've bought every Apple product, I think that's it. And I love how they look. I think they're beautiful, but I don't have one. And every once in a while, I go back to the Apple store and I look at the Apple Watches. And I feel like it's cool. Like, I'm like, that's cool. Like, it's cool that I can, but then, you know, I have had coffee with people and their watches are buzzing because I learned that it's connected to your phone. So if your phone is on buzz, you can put your phone in your purse. It won't bother you, but your watch is on your wrist. So like, you're feeling this buzz all the time. And I know you can turn it off. But like, I can't run without my phone with it. I can't do all this.
Well, now you can.
Well,
it just came out with a new watch.
It has to have its own
SIM card. Yeah,
SIM card. So then I have to buy a new phone plan to run when I'm not doing that. So anyway, and I think it's cool, but I don't want it because I feel like it doesn't actually meet a need. And when I see some of these things, I'm like, okay, like, I don't, for me personally, I don't understand how this is going to improve anything for me. Like, I walk in my house, if I want to listen to music, I put music on. I have no problem putting on music. I hate voice commands passionately. Like, I find it never works. It's you screaming at the TV, like, you know, with what Avengers movie you want to watch and getting some stupid, like, search command. Like, I just don't think it's there. Like, I get the idea of walking into your house like a futuristic movie and things. Like, that's very cool. But it doesn't seem there yet. And I don't want a camera following me around my living room while I do a Facebook Live video. Like, is that...
I don't understand is the need for stationary video chat.
To talk to people.
Like, we're back to the thing we talked about a few episodes ago, like the Grandpad.
But don't you video chat? But don't you video chat just with your phone?
That's what I mean. That's what I mean. It's why stationary video chat? Meaning it has to sit there. Why am I going to take less convenience?
Yeah.
For something, and it's, if people didn't all have phones, may I understand it, because the Jetsons promised us this video chat years ago.
That's what I'm saying.
But we already have it on our phone.
But with speakers, like, we have Sonos, right? So like, if you walk in the house, all it takes is me taking out my phone and picking the song, which to me is much easier, by the way, than screaming a song name at my phone until it works. I'm just going to say that in my world, I realize it ages me, but I don't understand that. So I pick up my phone, I push a button, it's playing on the speaker out loud. How is that harder? Like, do you see what I mean? Like, I just don't see it there yet. And I don't want to, do you remember we had the house and the TV for some reason was synced up because it was also a computer or something. And we started seeing the kids' pictures on the TV.
Yeah.
Like, that also concerns me. Like, I don't need all of our phones synced to something. And then the stationary video chat that we use when you're away all of a sudden is showing all the kids' photos. Like, I don't know. Mm-hmm. Seems...
I don't understand.
It seems like not. No. We probably won't be getting one for Christmas, so.
No.
Do you have a made-up word?
I do.
Don't make any sense. Don't mean no offense. It brings laziness. What is all this craziness? They're
made up. As always, made-up words are words that are just made up, usually by brands to try to sell something. If you find a made-up word, it makes you say, what is going on? Send it to us. Add on marketing, add on Allison. The on marketing page on Facebook, the marketing.com page if you want. If we pick your word, we will send you any one of our books of your choice this week from Dan W. What he'll like to be referred to is
sounds made up.
Distraccident.
Distraccident.
Wait.
Got in an accident because you're distracted.
Like, you bump into something because you're on your phone.
Yes, but... Dan says it's a fender bender caused by texting while driving.
So a crime.
So Wayne, your answer was not specific enough to win that one.
You should just always relate it to a phone now.
Yeah.
A crime.
Everything. Especially if you rear end somebody, you hit them with your frunk. That's from last week. Shout out to last week. Word. So there you go. A distraction, a fender bender caused by texting while driving. How about you just don't text while driving?
I wonder what exciting made up words we have for tomorrow live at Emma. Since this will be playing then, we're going to have some doozies.
Oof. I know I'm going to have a snaccident. That's what I'm going to have.
A snacksident?
Yeah.
Well, are we using our caterer to feed the peoples?
I do not know.
We should
know.
Do that.
I do not know. We're going to let Emma pay for the food this time. I know I'm not going to do it. We already sent them lunch.
Sorry. Should we be talking about this while we're recording?
All right. Okay, bye, everybody.
Bye, guys.
Be sure to subscribe to the podcast on iTunes and visit theunpodcast.com. And remember, friends don't let friends use QR codes.